Crisp and clean.
Crisp and clean.
No caffeine. It's the old Sprite commercials.
That's true. Oh my gosh.
We're back. It's
yeah.
In 2 weeks.
It's awesome. And it's hello. Hi.
Hello, hey guys. Hi. Talking to you from the distant past
again.
How are
we doing?
Because we actually need to retell them because we told them in the lost episode.
Did we really? Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. So we have to break the news all over again
because they don't know. We lost so much.
We lost a lot.
Oh my God.
So yeah, we're recording from the distant past of March, what is it, 8th, 7th?
It is the 8th because my birthday is tomorrow.
That's right. Yep. So March 8th. And this episode comes out in April. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because I am moving.
Yeah.
After 6 years here, the Air Force is officially moving me to Mississippi. I leave April 17th for Mississippi. So we are recording our entire season before I leave.
Jamming it out, guys.
We are really, really pushing to get it done. So we're doing two episodes tonight, two episodes on March 23rd, and those are May's episodes.
Yes.
And then June's episodes we're doing like the first weekend in April.
Yeah. So we'll be kind of talking to you guys in weird places, but.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about like things that have long since passed as if they're happening in the future.
Yes.
Or in the present.
As, you know, because you guys would have just listened to St. Patrick's Day that we recorded in February.
Yes. So you're hearing, oh, it's Tessa's birthday. No, it was Tessa's birthday a month ago when you hear this episode.
Exactly. Exactly. So say happy birthday to me a month ago.
Yeah. So happy birthday to Tessa in the past.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate it. We're already sipping our wine in celebration.
Well, you are. I've got my boat of Starbucks.
Yes, you do.
You know,
you do.
I'm a Starbucks lover.
You are.
Just
I know.
Like
I,
Taylor
you,
Swift
you walked in
about.
And I was like, I almost asked, can I have a sip? Like, I haven't had Starbucks in so long.
You absolutely can. Aww. It's a mango, dragon fruit lemonade.
Mm.
And it's amazing.
I just had a sip of my wine and I pretended I was sipping on your Starbucks. It tastes pretty.
Here, sip my Starbucks. Mm.
Tastes like wine and Starbucks.
That's an
tasty.
Interesting combo.
Mm.
Yeah, I love it. It's it's my favorite.
Even though, you know, Howard Schultz is like another conspiracy we need to talk about.
But oh, God.
That we won't because we don't cover politics on this podcast. We only cover fun things.
Yeah. Fun things. Super fun. I'm so, God.
How do you have a conspiracies like podcast and not cover politics? I tell you, it's very hard, but it's doable.
Yeah, that can't be easy. I feel like I'm going to skirt the line when we have our swap episode.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you guys
don't
what
tell
it
us.
Is, but we have it planned out, you know, because like last season, our swap episode we plan out so that, because Tess and I basically we swap topics.
Yep.
That's what we call it, the swap
every episode. 10 episodes.
So on the 10th episode of every season, Tess will talk about a cryptid and I will talk about a conspiracy. So we plan that one out in advance so that we don't accidentally take each other's topic.
Yeah.
So.
But other than that, we do not know what we are talking about today. So what are we talking about?
Well, we'll find out after we do our penny for our thoughts.
Penny for your thoughts.
I think I shake this time.
Shake it for a penny for your thoughts. That means I get to pick. I'm going to say, you know what? The head let me down last time, so let's say tails.
Tails never fails.
Tails never fails.
Oh.
Yes.
It's tails.
I get
Yay,
to go first.
Tess finally gets to go first after like a 5-episode run of me going first.
I'm so excited. I'm so
All
excited.
Right.
Yeah, that's
Regale
true.
Regale me with a tail.
Even in the lost episode, I didn't
I didn't
get to.
It was kind of unfortunate. It's been really weird that I've literally won the coin toss like 4 or 5
Seriously.
Weeks running.
Seriously.
It's kind of
and
annoying.
So finally, Lady Luck was on my side. So
on Women's Day.
Women's Day. Hey, thanks. Hey.
There you go.
Yes.
Happy Women's Day. Thanks, Lady Luck.
Yes. What is it? What? Chicks before dicks?
Oh, God.
Hoes before bros? Right?
Ovaries before broveries?
Yes, that one. That's excellent.
That's Galentine's Day, not Women's Day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Exactly. It's, you know. Yeah, like, Galentine's Day is not our conspiracy today.
No, no, no. Galentine's Day is the day before Valentine's Day, and it's all about your lady friends.
Exactly. Are the people you hold dear. Your sisters from other misters.
Okay,
I'm really excited about this one because it's rather anecdotal. I'm very passionate about this one. In fact, my script is fairly short this time, but I feel I'm going to have a lot to ad lib because I have a lot to say on this topic.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily my favorite conspiracy because it does put like some people in danger frequently. Mm. But hopefully if you listen to this podcast, you will head out into the world aware of the dangers that you face every day on the freeway.
Ooh. Is this about people not using their headlights when it's raining outside? Oh. Because that is the law.
Oh, my God. Turn on your headlights in California when it's raining and you have your wipers on. If you don't have them on right now and you're listening to us, you are in so much trouble.
That is one of my number one pet peeves is when people... It's like if it's raining, snowing, or foggy, or dark outside, turn your headlights on.
Because it's not about whether you can see.
Yeah,
it's about me seeing you.
And it's literally the law.
It's not all about you.
It's about me.
It's about me.
The way it should be.
Exactly. So anyway.
Is it that conspiracy?
It's not about that, oh, okay. No. Although I do wish we had, like, in fact, I almost the other day put my hand out my sunroof to, like, signal to somebody behind me, like, hey, you, turn your blinker on or your headlights on.
I flash my headlights at people.
But he was behind me.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you tell somebody behind you you're being a jerk?
If I were Grand Poobah of the Americas, I would make it so that every car, if you turn the head or the windshield wipers on, it automatically turns your headlights on.
And which actually some of them, they are manufacturing some cars already that's automatic.
Well, good.
So finally.
That means to
happen. It's about time.
It drives me so nuts.
Exactly. If we can have automatic windshield wipers, why can't we add the lights
exactly.
to it?
Exactly. Like, or like blinkers.
So anyway, you know, that's one soapbox we're going to stand on.
Last time it was vaccines and now it's turning on your headlights.
So I'm gonna bring you guys back in. I'm gonna reel you in.
Okay, go ahead,
and I'm gonna paint a picture for you. Let's meditate together, guys. Okay. So you're driving along in your 1983 Geo Metro. I actually saw one in the wild the other day. It had the original wheels on it too.
Like, I don't know why that just caught me off guard.
I mean, it was legit. It was white too.
Okay, all right, I'm ready.
With a cracked windshield, because I mean, where do you find windshields for Geo Metros
honestly,
anymore? You're crying.
I am. It really caught me off guard. Okay, all right, I'm good. Go ahead.
And you're in the third lane, so, you know, if we say, like, fourth lane, fast lane, even though I should know, it's like, I think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, being the fast.
Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 from right to left, so rightmost lane is the first lane.
Yeah.
Leftmost lane is the fourth lane.
I believe,
and that's for us here in the States who don't drive on the wrong side of the road.
You know.
We're weird here in the colonies.
We're also on the non-metric system too. So don't I'm sorry. So
many rabbit holes today.
Anyway, you're in the third lane.
Yes.
Okay. You're minding your own business. You got nowhere to be. You're not in a hurry. You're just trucking along. You've got no reason to be in the fast lane to your left. You're not passing anybody, just cruising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Suddenly you see an accident waiting to happen. Almost happen.
Oh.
Maybe someone almost gets rear-ended. Maybe someone has to drive on the shoulder to avoid another driver. Maybe somebody actually gets clipped.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention. Because who's seen leaving the scene like nothing happened? Who's the stupid anti-hero puttering away into the sunset as the mushroom cloud disperses behind them? I'll give you one guess.
The Toyota Prius.
It's the Honda CR-V driver.
Oh.
It's always the Honda CR-V driver. And I'm sorry if you guys are listeners and you are currently driving a CR-V. I'm telling you, you are a terrible driver. And it is not your fault. I'm sorry. It's not your fault.
Are you saying when they buy the car, they're contractually obligated?
The minute they sign that contract, they are contractually obligated to be a terrible driver.
Oh, God. Okay.
And you guys never know. That's the thing. You guys never get in the accidents. You guys always cause the accidents because you've done something dumb and somebody has had to accommodate for something that you did.
Okay. All right. So I'm interested to hear about the conspiracy behind this.
So I want to make it perfectly clear, though, that this conspiracy is not about Honda as a company and it has nothing to do with them as car manufacturers. They're very pretty safe cars with very good safety ratings. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little skeptical because apparently you can see everything, but they drive like they don't.
Okay.
So But what if I told you there was something about the way these drivers act that only washes over them once they get behind the wheel of one of these oddly comfortable mobile living rooms? No one is really sure why, but getting behind the wheel of a CRV instantly makes you not only into a shitty driver,
okay,
but someone unaware of just how shitty a driver you are.
Oh, God. Okay. All right, I'm interested.
So in my research, I watched countless minutes of nonstop action as CRV after CRV was smashed countless times into solid, immobile surfaces for my viewing pleasure. And I found that if you do a reverse image search of a frame from about 2.5 minutes into one of the crash test videos featuring the face of a child crash test dummy in the backseat, you'll find yourself at the entrance of a rabbit hole of unending and terrible proportions. Don't go down it.
Oh, God. Okay.
I almost didn't find my own way out.
Oh, God.
But, oh, it is quite a conspiracy. Those crash test dummies, the level that those guys go to, I mean, you think it's a child sitting in the back seat, but that guy has 3 different families across 3 different states.
They go above and beyond
they
the
do.
Call of duty, those crash test dummies.
They do.
Let's pour one out for our crash test dummies.
Take a sip, guys. This was also the first time I actually had a chance to gather some firsthand accounts of people involved with this conspiracy.
Okay.
I'm going to start with M, somebody I know personally, who is a current CRV driver. I was actually talking about this conspiracy at work, and I was like, I don't know what it is, that there is something that happens that washes over people as soon as they get behind the wheel of a CRV. And she turns around, she goes, excuse me, I drive a CRV. I said, you're part of the problem, honey. Why do you say that proudly?
Did she like admit to being in multiple accidents or something?
No, actually, no. But she see, they don't know.
Oh,
they
yeah,
have
that's
no
right,
idea.
That's right. Okay.
So I said to her, I said, why are you such a terrible driver, hon? And she goes, well, it's probably because I'm driving a couch. Like I said, they're mobile living rooms. They're quite comfortable. And, you know, they're pretty big. They got a big old back end, you know?
Yeah, they got a lot of junk in the trunk.
Luckily, she wasn't as offended as some CRV drivers I talked to, which I'll get to in just a second. But I also actually have a friend that, another friend of mine named Matt, that unfortunately about, I think, October or September of last year, he was driving Lyft, and he was driving on one of the local highways here, mm-hmm. and a car did something squirrely up ahead. And the car behind them reacted, and Matt didn't have time to react, mm-hmm. hit the person that reacted. The person behind him hit him, ooh. Which made him spin out. He hit the guardrail in the center divide, and he ended up with a bunch of broken bones, but surprisingly and amazingly walked away from it. And he was out of the hospital in a matter of days and stuff. Happy that he's feeling better. Like, Matt, hey, if you're listening, I'm very glad you're feeling better, sir.
Get well soon, Matt.
And but guess what started that chain reaction?
A Honda CRV.
Yep. And he did not know about my conspiracy theory.
Just more proof.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just more proof. And this person has no idea what they just caused, that they may have almost killed somebody. But, you know, so pay attention.
I wonder, what squirrely thing did they do? Did they just, like...
I don't know. Does somebody else have you accommodated for what they were doing? Like, I've even...
Probably, like, just suddenly switching lanes or something like
that,
probably.
And it could be because they're, you know, they're so in their own world. Like, there was one time... You know those times when you're driving and... You get to where you need to be, mm-hmm. and between that, like, you finally get where you need to be, and you're like, oh my God, like, I've turned, I've changed lanes. And
oh, yeah, you
I don't
go
remember.
On autopilot.
Yeah, you're kind of on autopilot and stuff, but you've been aware the whole time, but you're not really sure of how you got there.
I did that just yesterday.
On the way here?
No. No, I was on the way to Buffalo Wild Wings from work for lunch, mm-hmm. and my brain went on autopilot and I drove home.
Ooh.
And I was like, I didn't realize it until I was pulling into the driveway of my apartment complex. And I was like, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed
Whoops.
To be at Buffalo Wild Wings. So I was like,
Whoops.
Oh, oops. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, where your brain just goes on autopilot. Like
so
that.
I was on one of those days, right? And I'm in the fourth, I'm in the fast lane, mm-hmm. and I'm headed home. I'm just trucking along. Getting to where I need to go, and I realize that in front of me, I could be going a lot faster. I realize I'm going 65 in the fast lane. I'm like, why am I going this slow?
Because and then that's the speed limit test.
Then we're going even slower. I mean, but it's the fast lane.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not passing anybody. And so I look up and I realize that the car in front of me is a CRV. And I'm like, okay. All right, so I'll get around him. So I finally, he finally passes the person in front of him, and I get around him to go on my merry way, right, and, you know, actually get where I, you know, quit digging around and go where you need to go, Tess.
Yeah.
So I get around him, and as I pull up next to him to find out why he's now going 55 in the fast lane, you want to guess what he was doing?
Well,
he was not driving.
Sleeping?
No.
Okay. Because Tesla drivers often sleep.
They often do, but they at least have autopilot. Last I checked, I don't think CRVs have autopilot.
On his laptop.
He was reading a book. Like a novel on his steering
wheel. Like an actual book.
Like a book.
Oh my God. I've never seen anybody do that. I've seen texting. I've seen playing on your tablet. I've seen applying makeup. I've seen brushing your teeth. I've never seen anybody read a book.
Yeah, he was reading a book, and it was, like, propped up on the steering wheel, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, it's a CRV driver in the wild doing something you're not supposed to be doing. Why, of all things, would you get in the fast lane? What would compel you to read a book? Like, I mean, and this was, like, an older guy, too. It wasn't even, like, a college student that was trying to get to Sac State. Like, I'm, like, late for a midterm. I got to finish this chapter. I mean, it was, like, a novel. Like, what are you reading? James Rollins? Like, Lee Child?
Probably Twilight.
Yeah, probably. Sir.
Sir.
Sir. So, yeah, that was, that's at least the biggest part of my anecdote. And I have, oh, no, did my iPad just die? Oh, no, it didn't. Okay.
No, it just shut off.
Oh, I've got 96%, guys. Ooh, okay. All right. And then I also have another one. There's another. We have a mutual friend who's a former CRV driver.
Is it Katie?
So Katie has a new car. It's a sedan. And I asked her. I was like, I walked out. I'm like, did I bully you into not driving a CRV anymore? Because she used to drive one. And she's like, no, it was just too big for me. I just needed something a little bit smaller. And I'm like, that's the point.
Yeah.
It's too much car for you.
I wonder if she drives better now.
And that's the thing. I haven't been in the car with her yet, so I guess we'll find out. But when I do that research, when I do brave that research, I'll give you my report.
Okay. We need a scientific study done right now to see if like all of a sudden her driving habits have like drastically changed.
Exactly. She just
That would be literal proof enough for me that the conspiracy has merit.
Right. If
firsthand experience from somebody I know proving that it's real.
So I'll go sit in the car with her and I'll report on the next one and see if it's actually
Us like do a Facebook live. Hey, I'm reporting live with Katie.
Exactly.
And we're going to see if she drives better.
That would be fantastic. Katie, we're doing that. Katie, I'm going to call you.
Katie, I'm so sorry. I love you.
Oh, that's going to be really fun. But anyway, I want to wrap up this chat with I found an incredible story, actually, out of Arizona from a couple years ago where no one was injured in an accident that definitely should have killed some people.
Okay.
So photos were posted to Facebook by the Yavapai County Sheriff's Office to show an old Mazda. It's a pickup truck sitting on top of a newer CRV, which had actually received a top roof crush rating from the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. So they've got like a really good rating, especially for rollovers, for like a really bottom heavy car like that.
Right.
The police report says that the pickup driver said he was hit by a hit-and-run driver, which was a black truck, and forced into oncoming traffic where it hit a sedan and flipped on top of the CRV. And amazingly, two of the passengers in the Honda and the drivers of the pickup and the sedan were all uninjured and everyone was buckled up. So definitely wear your seatbelts. I'm trying to pull up this link for Sammy here because these pictures are stunning. It's just shocking because... Honestly, I don't even know how you even walk away with this with like even a like straight voice. I mean, this is how did the truck flip like
whoa,
and everybody's okay. I'll post pictures on our Instagram.
That's actually really cool. It looks like a modern art piece.
Right? So it's like a white truck that's stacked wheels down on top of a CRV.
I mean, it looks like picture like when you were a kid, you would stack your toy cars on top of each other. It looks literally like that.
Yeah.
Like, they have, it's a white pickup that is literally stacked on top, perfectly on top of a CRV.
And this guy says he was hit by a hit-and-run driver that forced him into oncoming traffic, and then when he was hit by another driver, got flipped onto this,
so like, that means it went up into the air, probably did a, like, a full 360,
and then
landed.
That's like flipping your Vans.
Yeah.
Only it's not a van, it's a truck. Not a ship.
Get out. And that's the end of this podcast.
Exactly. Sorry. I'll just go home, I
We're
guess.
Done.
I am home.
This is our season, or our series finale. Bye.
Surprise. So anyway, that's what I have for my conspiracy.
Oh my God.
I think it's a thing, and I think I really want you guys out there to pay attention. The next time you guys are out there and you see somebody doing something squirrely on the freeway, check and see if it's a CRV, because chances are pretty good it is.
That's crazy. You should be.
Mm-hmm. I've even got my brother looking for it.
Usually we're like the healthy skeptics with the conspiracies, but it's like this one, Tess is like, no, this one's real.
No, this one's real. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be right back after our little mid-episode break.
Yeah.
Come on, words.
You know, a chance for us to play the jingle while we pretend to
play
have a break.
Play the jingle and who knows what else.
We'll go see. Drink more wine. We'll be back in 30 minutes.
Okay, we'll be back. See you guys.
Do you like conspiracies and cryptids?
Do you want to make sure we can keep the lights on?
We do.
A great way to support us is through our Patreon. With Patreon, your donations can unlock different tiers of rewards as a way to say thank you for supporting us.
At the $1 tier, also known as the conspirator tier, you get our undying gratitude, and you even get your name announced on air and on our website.
At the $5 tier, which is called the mole on the inside, you get access to all of our scripts and notes for every episode, including the infamous lost episode.
When you hit the $10 tier, the Crypt Keeper, you get invited to join the secret Facebook group, The Crypt, where you can directly talk to the two of us.
Because what's better than that, right?
Right.
The $15 tier, or the Cryptologist, also gets a monthly personalized postcard from us.
Which someone already has.
Yep.
If you pledge $20 a month, you hit the Theorist tier, where you can see videos and bloopers from our recording sessions. And there are plenty.
Yes. Yep. So many bloopers. Now we get to my favorite tiers. The $30 tier, or the One Topic Wonder, is where every month you'll get put into a drawing to pick one of the topics Tessa or I will cover. That's right. You, our listener, could pick either your favorite conspiracy or your favorite cryptid for us to talk about.
So exciting. And finally, the $40 tier, which, oh my God, thank you. The two topics are better than one. You get put into the drawing to pick both of our topics, and you can direct an entire episode.
How cool is that? So we hope you'll consider helping support us. And if any of these sound intriguing to you, you can check us out at patreon.com/conspiriesandcryptids. Once again, that's patreon.com/conspiriesandcryptids. And don't forget,
Big Brother is watching.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Do you think the clear tape over my, the webcam is effective? I figured the bubbles in it would obscure enough.
I mean, it isn't on there very smooth. So that
right?
It'll kind of give a fisheye look.
I think so. I hope it's effective. I mean, I don't want the government, you know,
I'm sure your personal FBI agent is, you know, just kind of like, what is going on right now?
Right? Hi. We're in a fish tank.
I love the whole, like, concept of everybody has their own personal FBI agent.
That just
makes me so happy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're there for me, even if nobody else is.
Mine's Officer Punny Bunny.
All right.
We're kindred spirits.
Oh,
anyway,
are you?
Go ahead. I'm so excited to hear about this cryptid.
Okay. All right. So pets and creatures living and mutating in the sewers is a common trope in movies, comics, and television, and has been for years. I mean, come on. We all know about the Ninja Turtles. And we've all loved them at one point or another.
I love where this is going.
But what if I told you that there was a legitimate cryptid that has been reportedly seen multiple times in Washington State that lives in the intricate sewer system of Walla Walla, Washington?
What?
Yeah. This one's called the Walla Walla White Snake.
I love this.
So, yes.
Sounds like a great skirt.
I found this one and I was like, God, that's such a great alliterative name.
I love it.
And I love it so much. Okay, so according to most stories, back in the mid to late 1990s, a kid from Walla Walla, Washington. I just love saying that. Walla Walla, Washington.
Walla Walla.
Got a young Burmese python as a pet for a birthday present from his parents.
It's a bad choice.
Yeah, right. Now, stories vary a bit into what happened, whether the snake escaped or appeared dead and got flushed or something or another. But one way or another, it ended up in the city's sewer system. Left unchecked with a food supply of rats and plenty of room to grow, the snake adapted to its new surroundings and continues to roam the sewers to this day.
Oh, my.
So,
Wild Fang, you make my heart sing. Groovy.
Groovy. So, description of what it looks like. It's 20 to 30 feet long, depending on the encounter. Pale to white coloration due to living underground. Enlarged pit organs. And the pit organs are, they have these little, like, holes, like, along their nose or their snout that help them to, like, see infrared, basically.
Oh, ooh.
So, enlarged pit organs.
Weird.
As big around as an adult male leg. So, like, look at my thigh.
Oh,
like,
my.
That big around.
See, but your thighs look like my thighs. Are those adult male thighs?
I don't. Probably not. I don't do leg day very often.
But that's okay.
But that's still a thick snake.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a thick boy.
Thick boy. Oh, Lord, he coming.
Oh, Lord, he coming. It has large fangs and glowing red eyes. Now, Burmese python can get up to 20 or 30 feet long, depending on how well they're raised.
Anaconda.
And, you know, just like depending on how much room they have to grow. So that is
like a fish tank.
Yeah. So that is well within reason for it to be that
huge. Big. Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to get into the sightings. The first one comes from January of 1998. This was the first known sighting, and this was from Ted Kimley and James Brooks. Ted and James were water and sewer maintenance workers in the city and were conducting the beginning of the year inspections when they claimed to have found a shed snakeskin. Ted said it was ghost white and about 20 feet long. Scared the hell out of me and my coworker. We couldn't take it with us because we still had to finish our inspection, but we did report it in our findings when we got back topside. The skin wasn't found on subsequent investigations, but the two men swear by their story.
Oh, my.
Big, long, 20-foot-long snake skin.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
That's, woo,
that's big.
Ooh, can you imagine coming across that thing?
Like, no.
And being no. Is this like a weird casing of, that's a snake, and it's 20 feet long.
Yep.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Especially if it's, like, as big as your thigh. Like, yeah. That's, woo.
That's a big, yeah. That's big.
That's something. That's not a condom, guys.
No, it's not.
No.
So the next sighting comes from August 26th, 2002. A woman claimed to have seen the snake slither down an open manhole late one night on her way home from work. She was driving slowly past a road construction zone, and something white caught her eyes. Though she didn't see the entirety of the creature, she did see a good 10 to 15 feet slither down the open manhole and into the sewer. She also said that after it was out of sight, there was what looked like glowing red eyes peering out from the sewer hole.
That's not Pennywise.
It's not Pennywise.
Mm-mm.
The creepy clown.
Mm-mm. That floats down there, though.
They all float where you're going.
Georgie.
Next one comes from 2005. During 2005, there were numerous sightings around the city, but one in particular stood out to Dr. Henry Wu, who was a herpetologist at ETS Laboratories. According to the witness, he saw the snake one evening near a gutter drain. It was very large around and seemed to be struggling with labored breathing. According to Dr. Wu, these are classic symptoms for reptile pregnancy, indicating that the snake may in fact be female and on the verge of giving birth. He went on to say that all pythons are egg layers, or oviparous, which sets them apart from boas, the world's family of other large constricting snakes, which give birth to live young.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know snakes give birth to live young.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. They
weird.
Can.
Weird.
Yep.
I thought they all gave birth to eggs.
Garter snakes give birth to live young.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But pythons give birth to eggs.
Interesting.
So he went on to say that they can give birth to up to 150 eggs at a time. Most species of python provide a parental care to their eggs. He said, the females will make nests of vegetation and soil or use old burrows. After the eggs are laid, the female will coil around them to protect the eggs and to keep them warm. If the temperature in the nest begins to decrease, the female will contract her muscles to warm the eggs. This is known as shivering thermogenesis. Females typically do not feed during this time and may only leave the nest to bask. After the eggs hatch, the female does not care for the hatchling snakes.
Interesting. Now that makes sense. But that's what I'm finding most interesting out of that is that, you know, snakes are cold-blooded creatures.
Yeah.
And yet they still use those muscles to cause that friction. Warm up the eggs. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Isn't it, though?
Huh.
Yeah. It's what did I say it was? Shivering thermogenesis. Because shivering is our body's natural reaction to keep warm by causing muscle friction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually really
it's
neat.
Funny. Actually, last night on our way back from, because last night Ian and his producer Ian and his band Blind Medusa from Sacramento, they played over at one of our major venues in town at Ace of Spades. On our way home, it was really cold outside, and I was shivering in the car. We were talking about what a weird phenomena that is.
Yeah.
That your jaw, like I could not control the chattering of my teeth.
Yeah.
And like it was just so cold, and how weird that is to like just warm up. Just keep your head warm. Mm-hmm. Is that shaking?
Yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah, it's really neat how your body's just natural response is to just vibrate your muscles to keep warm.
Interesting.
It's crazy. Okay, so the next one comes from September 21st of 2010. A local man got the scare of his life when he went into his bathroom, turned on the light, and found a 3-foot snake comfortably coiled on the toilet seat.
Oh.
There's a giant snake on my toilet, he told cops who arrived at his apartment, but the cops were unable to find the snake, however, but they did take the man's statement. The shaken man told cops the reptile wasn't his pet and probably had made its way into his bathroom through the plumbing.
It's like my worst nightmare.
Right?
That is my worst nightmare. Not that that happens very often in our town, but like...
It's still terrifying.
A snake on a... I saw a video recently of a spider just like... It was one of those huntsmen's from Australia, and it like crawls up the back of a car and then just like sucks itself into the like gap between the trunk, like the hatchback.
Oh God.
And everybody in the comment section was like, just burn the car. The car's totaled.
That car's dead. That car is totaled.
You're done. But that's like the equivalent of finding a toilet
A
toilet snake.
So cops sympathized with the unidentified man's panicked reaction to the snake. Look, anytime you walk into your bathroom and find a big snake staring you in the eye, it's going to spook you, said one officer. Building resident Carolyn Monroe, aged 57, said it was just another day with the Walla Walla white snake on the loose.
Oh, Carolyn.
She said, we've got enough problems here with bugs and mice. Now there's snakes coming up through our toilets, she said. That's just scary. Oh. So, and this is a 3-foot one, so maybe this was one of the babies? I mean, 2005 was when they were saying it might be pregnant, so 5 years... I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's continuing to have
maybe
babies.
Maybe it just gives birth. Maybe there's so many of them.
Maybe they're constantly giving birth. Who knows? And then the last two sightings I have actually come from just last year, 2018.
Oh.
First one comes from March 19th, 2018.
Hey, that's like around the corner.
I know, from right now. But from
right
the time
now.
You hear the episode, that'll be in
that's
the past.
That's true. It was the past.
March 19th, 2018, another late night toilet visit ended in terror for a 17-year-old boy. He sat down on the toilet and felt this cold, big, strong thing starting to wrap around his leg. He looked down and saw a large white python, his mother said. He goes to move his leg and it strikes toward him. He flicks it off with his other foot and it sort of recoils. So he pulls his pants up and runs out of there and closes the door behind him. When the boy's mother went to investigate, she didn't find a snake, but did say that there was water all around the toilet as if something inside had splashed out all over the floor.
Wow.
Right? Right?
I mean, that's a weird excuse for fairly aggressive masturbating, but I mean...
I don't think that's it. I really doubt it.
I hope not. I mean, that's an elaborate lie.
So the last sighting comes from July 20th, 2018. A few months later, another white python was found slithering around in a toilet. So it really likes toilets. Hmm. James Hooper said he thought someone was pulling a prank on him until he saw it moving around. Before it slithered back down the pipe, he noticed that it had piercing red eyes and that it opened its mouth as if to hiss at him and that he could see one-inch fangs protruding from its mouth.
Woo!
Those are big fangs.
Woo!
He said, judging from the size of the snake's head, he assumed it to be between 3 and 6 feet long.
Woo! Another baby.
Possibly.
They're breeding. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Explanations for it. The only one explanation that is... Or is that it's either real or an out-of-control urban legend. If it is real and it was pregnant, that would explain the variance in sizes that have been reported. And if it is a python, it would explain why it's been around so long as they can live up to 35 years.
Ooh.
If they're, like, you know, well-fed and well-taken care of.
So watch out in Walla Walla, Washington.
Right? Watch
there
out.
There is a white snake that is after you. Oh, my God. With right? weird red eyes and...
And it's pale, like
yeah.
albino-ish.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Either
Ooh.
That or, like, you know, I don't know. Like, maybe it's adapted to its surroundings of being underground all the time. I don't know, but that's really gross and terrifying.
So the answer is, whenever you approach a toilet, flush it first.
Flush first.
Just flush first, no matter what.
Also,
even if it's closed, just flush it.
Also, never flush your pets.
Yes, don't flush your
you
pets,
know,
please.
Even if they're dead, don't flush your no. pets. It's bad for the plumbing, bad for sewage. You know, we've already got enough problems with fatbergs. We don't need nasty yeah. dead animals Ooh. In the fatberg.
Fatbergs!
Number two, if you can't take care of a pet, don't get one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, that's a big takeaway.
Yes, yes.
Especially with, like, since this is coming out in April, with Easter coming up, please don't get your kids pet bunnies or ducks for
no bunnies.
Easter.
No bunnies. No bunnies.
It's literally a problem. Every year, people get... pet rabbits and pet ducks and chicks for their kids as an Easter present, and they end up poorly taken care of or turned into foster homes and all sorts of stuff because people can't take care of them.
I suggest you go, like, we've got a local feedlot down the street that has ducks and chicks and bunnies and stuff, and you can go pet them.
Yeah.
Go pet them.
Go play with them.
Go play with them.
But don't get them.
Don't make that kind of decision if you're not really willing to commit, because animals are a commitment.
They're a big responsibility. They're a commitment.
They really are.
They're not just a present that you give to your kid for part of their Easter best. Get them a chocolate bunny.
And don't...
Like a normal person.
Don't overestimate them. They're not going to take care of them.
Yeah.
You're going to have to take care
you're
of them.
You're going to be the one
My
taking
mother
care
knows
of them.
Very, very well
oh, yeah, so does
you
mine.
End up taking care of the pets.
Yeah,
I'm
my
sorry,
mom is very well aware that the cat that she got for me is her cat.
Yeah.
I just play with it sometimes.
I do love my babies, and they are starting to come over here more often.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that, so yes, definitely. And also, if you can take care of a pet, adopt, don't shop.
Yeah, adopt, don't shop.
Java the Mutt is a rescue.
Yeah, both yeah. of my cats are rescues.
Yeah, both of my cats are rescues. Yeah, yeah we
they
love
need
those
homes.
Good babies.
Yeah, they're good
so,
babies.
Wow, the Walla Walla White
Walla
Snake.
Walla
also,
White
save
snake.
Your animals from the Walla Walla White Snake.
Yeah, yeah. If you're living in that area, yeah. you should probably watch out. You know,
yeah,
don't just
yeah.
let your pets have random access to the bathroom, because you never know.
You never know.
Because the last thing I want to find out is that, you know, people's pets were eaten by a snake that came up through the toilet.
Like, oops.
So gross.
Ugh.
Can you imagine, though,
oh
sitting
God.
Down on your toilet and, like...
I have,
and, it's, like,
and that's why it's
up.
A fear.
But, like, sitting down on the toilet and, like, your toilet seat moves under
you. I feel
you.
Like that's a moment where you're just like, this is how it ends.
This is how I die. And I guess, you know, you just make peace.
This is it. You know, this is just... You just go, okay.
I guess this is how I go.
That's when you just go ahead and... Do your business, because now's your chance. Yeah, exactly.
If that doesn't cause you to immediately do your business, like, right there in the moment.
Because I mean, exactly.
know if I sat down and I felt something crawling around my leg, my bowels would immediately evacuate. That would be it. I'd just be, you know, I'd be
At
thankful.
Least you're in a convenient spot.
I would be thankful for yeah. being on the toilet.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
oh,
anyway,
man.
Enough bathroom talk.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Gross.
Thank you.
That's
yeah,
gross
but
and
snakes.
Uncouth.
Snakes are gross. I mean, the snakes are not gross. Snakes are not in general, because snakes are pretty cool. I don't
yeah.
want to, you know, give snakes a bad name, but the Walla Walla White Snake.
That sounds terrifying. It
sounds absolutely terrifying because it likes toilets.
Yeah. Well, it's like snakes aren't gross or terrifying. when they're properly taken care of and where they're supposed to be, but exactly. in the sewer system of a city, not where snakes are supposed to be.
Exactly.
You
it's
know,
like
when you're not expecting a snake to be curled up on your toilet seat, it's disgusting and terrifying.
Exactly. It's like finding one of those Trebles from Star Trek in your, like, I don't know, your fireplace.
I guess.
It doesn't belong there. Shouldn't right. be there.
We're rambling we are. As usual. So,
yeah.
Well, okay. So thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You know, thank you for just supporting us in general. You guys have been absolutely amazing and we love you guys.
We do. We do. And every day. And, it just gets better and better and keep sticking around for more episodes. We'll be back again in 2 weeks.
We'll be back on the
15th. Absolutely.
With more conspiracies and cryptids.
Oh yeah.
You know,
it's electrifying. It's that's my tease for next time. It's electric.
It's electrifying. Oh my God. But yeah, so we'll catch you guys in 2 weeks.
Yep.
This was all fake.
Yes, this April Fool's
Day. Happy
None of this
April
is true.
Fools. All of these were made up by yours truly. And don't forget,
Big Brother is watching.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. Don't forget to check out our website, www.conspiriesandcryptids.com, for more episodes and other information.
And if you're really enjoying what we're doing, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/cryptipod. That's CRYPTIPOD. There you can find different ways to support us and get some awesome goodies along the way.
While you're at it, you can also find us on all of your favorite social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's any one of those at Cryptipod.
And if you're enjoying our podcast, please think about leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us 5 stars and a nice little blurb about why you like us. It helps us to gain some traction and find some new listeners.
And while you're at it, don't forget to tell your friends, because our friends are your friends.
And don't forget, Big Brother is watching.